audio courtesy of Guards TV. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. You had an interesting experience reading social media from a one Andrew Zellman here. You want to share that with everybody to start things off?
Yeah, he was talking yesterday. You know, these tweets pop up on my feed from time to time.
Are they still the publishers I've seen?
Used to be.
Okay.
Former.
Okay.
Did get sold.
That didn't sound nice. I like Andrew Zellman. Sorry, go right on ahead.
Well,
that sounded mean-spirited.
Maybe they sold it for a lot of money.
We'll see here. Just the way that sounded.
The comings and goings of publishers here in town.
I'm not frustrated with him. I'm frustrated with myself because there's no way I can talk about them and justify this series. I can't even justify it. There's no way I can do this without making a big excuse. And it falls back into the conversation that you and I hate. It just turns into, this is the problem with baseball, 216. And you and I are bored by that conversation. We have been bored for several years.
We try not to.
To the point where we go out of our way to try to not to have that conversation. And then stop the conversation once it starts into that.
Yeah, well, he wrote,
because it's a downer. It's
he wrote yesterday, Guardians play decent against AL Central teams, and you think they have a chance, but when they play the Dodgers, Padres, or Yankees, you realize how far away they actually are. I just feel like basically every team in the bigs, you could tweet that about, right? I mean, just in terms of talent, personnel, you look pound for pound. I mean, mention in the open, Max Muncy used to be really good, didn't he? And Matt Underwood's like, man, he's even getting involved. Like, yeah, they have a lot of guys. They have a ton of guys that are very, very good or who have been good at one stage of their career. They have an insane payroll.
Yeah. And say for their third baseman, we would take anybody on the
track,
right?
For sure.
Bring them in.
So at no point am I watching the Dodgers games and Max Muncy, two-time All-Star, two-time world champion. And he's their bad player. He's one of their bad ones.
Like, that's...
And we would throw a parade in the street.
And so you sit there, and, like, if he says, like, this shows you how far away the Guardians are, like, I'm sorry, like, I'm like, what are we far away from? Affording a player like Mookie Betts? Affording a player like Shohei Ohtani? Like, we'll never do that. Like, I got frustrated on the way home last night, and I'm listening to Jake after the game, and they're saying in the updates, I think, oh gosh, the new kid, what's his last name? His first name's Michael. He's from another state.
Motorcycle.
Michael. Motorcycle Jaromir Jagr. Rest in peace, Mike Lang. I'm listening to it. It's like Jose Ramirez, he's got a 20-game hit streak. And I go, boy, we are really, you know what, in a way, the guardian of our generation. Who will never, and I'm telling you right now, you know what this starts with? This is why I know I got friends over there that work there, and it would not be fun, but this is why, for the good of the game, there needs to be a work stoppage. There needs to be a work stoppage. Because you can't do this. Because I'm telling you right now, Jose Ramirez will turn into a cautionary tale. He probably already is to some of these agents. He will turn into a cautionary tale for the rest of the league. Player of the generation. He is our Hall of Famer. He will go into the Hall of Fame. I believe Jose Ramirez is a Hall of Famer, and he will go in as a Guardian, because they still do that in the Baseball Hall of Fame, in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame, right? Right. National Baseball Hall of Fame. Beg your pardon. He'll go in as a Guardian, and we'll always love him because he took this huge discount that what do they do with all the rest of the money? What do they do with it? See, we're doing the same thing we always do. It's the same conversation all over again. And so his career ends, and we're all like, eh, you know, he's not having the same type of season he's had. Like, I heard Nick yesterday, Jose's kind of having a mid-season. Still has a 20-game hitting streak. 20 games is nothing to fart at. 20 games in professional baseball is still a big deal to me. And I know that he goes up there, no offense to Nick, I know that he's pressing a little bit because some of the other ones, he still has a 20-game hit streak. So if Jose has a 20-game hit streak, I'm just sitting there going, he's 31 now is how old Jose is? So now we're going to you-know-what away what we have with the player of our generation. I'm glad he likes being here. I'm glad he likes it here. And we'll always give him the utmost respect as fans, as media, and because he deserves all of it. He's a good guy off the field. He's obviously a leader. He's obviously the great player that we have. I think that he is one of the most recognizable in this city, responsible, respected, all the words that you can say. And it just feels like, okay, great. And we're going to put Jose Ramirez up there, and we're going to put Nolan Jones in the two hole every now and then. That's what we're going to do. Thanks for staying. Thanks for taking this massive discount. Here's your Nolan Jones. That Jonathan makes an argument about exit velo. That's where we're at. So that's, in the grand scheme of things, I know I'm just vetting, but this is part of the problem of what you have, because I can't even look at the Dodgers and go, oh, you know, we're so far away. This isn't like the NFL where you go, hey, you know, we got some good young players here in whatever city we're at, but you saw when you played Kansas City, you saw when you played Philadelphia, you know, just how many drafts you are away. Just how far you are away. It isn't like college football. Hey, we just started a program. We got a couple of good young players here, but we're still a little bit of ways as we're seeing. This is the litmus test of where we want to be if we're able to do it. I will never. Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, Max Muncy. Who do I afford? Who does my team get?
That's what I'm saying. You bring up the Jose Ramirez part of this, and whether or not he'd be upset, or certainly his agent would probably be, because he wasn't happy he took that kind of home team discount to begin with.
Yeah.
And you talk about what they haven't put around him. But even if
they can't.
But
I don't know
even
if they can.
If they increased their payroll, doubled their payroll, they'd still be 150 south of the Dodgers, 150 million.
And I'll say this.
I don't think it would matter, is what I'm saying.
For the Dodgers, like Freddie Freeman has been worth the, because you can do, like the Yankees have made good investments in the past. They've made terrible investments in the past. They've been able to buy their way out of it. The Mets have made horrific investments in the past. Hey, I'll give the Dodgers credit. Shohei Ohtani, worth every penny. Freddie Freeman, absolutely worth every penny for that baseball team. I mean, they're worth it. And they've shown they won the World Series last year, and they look to be a favorite to win the World Series this year as long as everybody stays healthy. And, you know, you can afford one guy, and you can afford about one and a half of what you would get. And even the one guy has to take a big shave. And what I hate about it, it just turns into the same sad-ass conversation all the time. It's always that thing. When you play a team like the Dodgers, it just turns into the haves and the have-nots. So here we are. So that sucks. That's the terrible part of this. And I don't. When I look at the season, I said this to you guys yesterday, it's not about where we stack up. It really isn't. I can maybe make the argument about the division, but when it comes to the rest of the league, it's not where we stack up against the Dodgers. It's not where we stack up against the Mets or the Yankees or anything. It's not that. It's where we stack up against ourselves, keeping our heads above water. If these guys can develop, if the starting pitching can show anything other than Jekyll and Hyde throughout the entire season, like that's the fight. The fight is against our own future and whether or not it's bright or dimming as the games go on. That's what the argument is. It is not against these other teams. It is not against the Philadelphia Phillies. It's not against them, man. It's a little bit, I don't want to compare it to the White Sox because that's an insult to professional baseball and it's an insult to the Guardians. I would compare them to the Tigers and Twins and Royals.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the
comparison.
So I want to know, anybody that was there last night, they feel like they at least got their money's worth? Or the game before? Feel like they got their money's worth based on the conversation we had yesterday?
And again, replay. It's Groundhog Day. Just replay the tape from yesterday. I said, they put on a good show. You got to see a good show. People booing. But other than that, you got to see a good show.
So what, they were booing what this time? Because I know there were debates about the people that were cheering the game before.
Well, Bobby got touched up again.
The best player in Major League Baseball.
But does that not start a conversation with everybody? You got to see Max Muncy hit a home run. You brought him up. He's a world champion two times over, right? Mm-hmm. Shohei Ohtani, the star of this generation, I would say, the biggest international star that Major League Baseball has. In both here and there. I mean, he's one of the most recognizable players in professional sports.
He hit another home run today. He might go down in history as the best baseball player in the history of the sport.
Hit a home run. He's hit a home run over the last two games. If you went to both games, which I actually know somebody who has, they're a Dodgers fan, oddly enough, but they went to these first two games of this series and they've seen Shohei Ohtani hit home runs in both games of the series. You tell me that's not worth money? That's your money's worth right there. So they did exactly what I said yesterday. They put on a good show. If you are expecting victory, they usually win more than they lose, so that's good. They are good at fan interaction during the game. They're good at fan experience during the game. I think they do when they have to let people down when it comes to weather and things like that. They make up for it. They really do their damnedest to make up for it with the fan experience and with fan engagement, all the other stuff that we say. And they put on a good show.
So what was going on yesterday? They were beefing in the stands?
So someone called Jake. I got to listen to a lot of Jake Volnick last night because, ladies and gentlemen, I have entered Owen's world. As Owen and I have watched you, and we're all in different stages of our lives, and Owen is like the first one in it, and then Owen's like, okay, here comes Ken, and then I'm eventually going to go, here comes Lima. So last night, I'm in Menor. I didn't leave Menor till I got out of the drive-thru at about 9:17, 9:18, somewhere in there.
On a school night,
long yeah.
Long time in a drive.
A long time in a drive. Well, you know, we got held back. Don't want to say what it is. You know, sponsors.
Text me, I'll tell you.
It was not the fine people at Mr. Hero. That was prop service, and you can eat free Mr. Hero today, coming up at 7:45 during 2 Second Trivia. It was not the fine people at Mr. Hero there. Would have stopped there. I'm on my way home, listen to a lot of Jake, and we had a caller. The one caller called in, and Axe was like, what's he saying? I don't know, buddy. This is a quintessential night call. I like this call. And he was talking about how people were cheering the Dodgers, then booing what was going on. Then there was another caller who said that I guess there were some ruffians in the stands who were wearing Dodgers stuff trying to start something over there in this game. Here, is this the call? This is the call last night on Jake Volnick's show.
Carter's in Cleveland. What's going on, Carter?
Just got out of the game, driving home now. All I got to say is, man, there are an insane amount of Dodgers fans. Like, I don't know where these guys are coming from. Like, they just appear, and they're kind of unbearable to be around. Like, everyone's trying to fight. It's just the vibes are kind of off.
Physically fight? Like, are there word brawling?
Yes. I'm walking out of the stadium, and there's, like, at least four groups of people trying to fight over a pretty large loss. Like, I don't know where these guys are coming from. They just appear.
Lima said it. This is the time right now over the last weekend where we are trying to talk ourselves into it being warmer than what it is because there was some sun. It is still far too cold to be out there fighting. And you are a National League team, by the way. Let's not act like this is like a heated, like I can understand, I don't condone fighting, but I can understand some pushing and shoving in game 5 of the ALCS. I told you guys about that where I basically almost walked into about four different fights after game 5.
With the Yankees last year.
And that's the Yankees. And that's for big stakes. And people are upset because they're wheeling out that great big stage. Oh, it was just a horror show. This is the Dodgers. Who's shoving?
On a Tuesday night.
Now, I got to admit, if I'm a Guardians fan, and I hear Dodgers fans puffing their chest, I'm probably going to think, I mean, Los Angeles is a far away away. I'm probably going to think that some of these people are front runners. And then there is a have and have not type of thing. It becomes very Patrick Swayze and the Outsiders very quickly. Because we can't afford those players.
Well, our whole life, at least my whole life, it was the order of operations when it came to hating other teams because of their national fan base. It was always Yankees, Cowboys. I seemed like every time the Lakers came here, the Kobe Bryant love was all over the place. Now, I liked Kobe, so I didn't necessarily hate them as much as maybe most Clevelanders. But the Dodgers didn't really... I don't remember the Dodgers...
Well, they didn't come here then.
Yeah.
No, I never had a thing against the Dodgers.
But I didn't even hear Owen like fans say... Like they did. Oh, I have my National League team, the Cubs.
Well, yeah,
it was never the Dodgers. I don't remember the Dodgers. So
I don't personally know a ton of. I'm a Dodgers fan that lives in the local area.
Where did these Dodgers fans come from? Is it right? Like
I know Ken, one Dodger fan.
Well, what Ken is alluding to? Did they come out of the woodwork? Did they jump on a bandwagon because they have this insane payroll?
I think some of it might be front runners. Some of it might be people who maybe jumped off our bandwagon because it's like, well, I'm just going to support a team that can win. Like, I brought this up to you. Like, if you're a Guardians fan, do you have, like, a top four team and two markets team? Like, you can't say you're a Yankee fan if you're a Guardians fan. We've done that to death. But can you go, hey, you know what? I like the Mets because they spend a lot of money and they actually have a look at it. I like the Dodgers because they spend a lot of money and they have a look at it.
Here's what I don't understand about that.
Can you say that?
We've won more games than just about anybody in the American League over the past decade.
Correct.
So the playoffs are like 4 weeks long. So you have a lot of good feel-good vibes throughout every regular season for the Guardians. And that is interminable. It's so long.
Yes, that's true.
That I don't understand why you would drop the Guardians. Like, yeah, in the playoffs, they haven't won the World Series. Okay, but the baseball playoffs are so quick that I think you have enough joy over the course of 5 months that you don't need to give up your fandom of the Guardians just because they don't win the World Series.
But there are plenty of people who might. But so you don't even find it understandable. They're like, because people like, oh, I like the Guardians, but I also have a National League team. People like to say, we used to do back in the day.
No, that's fine. I don't remember that ever being the Dodgers in this in this area.
No. Well, and it wouldn't be the let's show up as Dodgers fans if the Guardians are your team and then you also like
them. But man, I remember I told you guys, man, and again, Ohtani has a major league fan base. I mean, I think there were plenty of people who were Angels fans, quote unquote. Yeah. Like, I think he has a following quite like Odell had when he was here, like the Shador fans.
I think Mookie has that too. I think people that were Boston fans probably.
That's a great point.
Like the Dodgers because Mookie's there.
I bet that's a hell of a point right there. Yeah. So I think you're dealing with a little bit of that. Dan Wetzel going to join us at 8 o'clock. We got major changes of brewing in college football. I think that Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, is saying what Tony Petitti is thinking. He's just the one who's willing to say it out loud. That coming up at 8 o'clock.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
So after Shohei Ohtani's home run yesterday and the Dodgers 9-5 win over the Guardians last night, I wanted to get an intake from the Dodgers perspective because I saw some people on social media last night saying that we had some Guardians fans in the crowd, not fighting with Dodgers fans, but cheering for what many consider to be the top player in baseball. So this is Joe Davis's call from Sportsnet LA. I was going to discover one thing, but then I discovered something else.
Lifts the first pitch the other way. Kwan steps back onto the track. It is gone! Skyscraping drive the other way, and Ohtani's got his 20th. What the Ohtani, he says.
So after that smattering of boos and cheers, the reason he says what the Ohtani is that you could audibly hear Tanner Bibee say WTF after that home run that just got over the left field wall. Bibee talked about that on the postgame.
I think when he hit that, I think a lot of people thought it was a pop-up. I mean, I did too. Thought I was out of the inning. Not a lot of lefty hitters can go opposite field at a park. So it was definitely crazy seeing that go out.
Tough day for Bibee. Tough look for him all around.
Yeah, you're going to be upset about something like that. It's a... Hey, boy, it's a very up and down year for these kids. Very up and down year for these starting pitchers.
Is it really that bad of a thing to give up a walloped shot to somebody like Ohtani? Like, he knows
it's not
he's
a good thing.
He knows. But he knows he's going up against maybe the all time.
Yeah, I think
best.
After the at bat to open up the game, though, he battled. He ends up getting that strikeout. I think he feels like, oh, I've got him figured out to at least. Think he's gonna bounce it off the wall and maybe get a double, and like he's the guy that's figured him out, kind of. And then he didn't. Yeah. And then the ball just kept going out.
Was it young Manny Ramirez against Dennis Eckersley where he crushes one?
Yes.
And Eckersley looks and guffaws and turns around. It's one of the great moments of the 90s Indians. That's like one I'll always remember.
It's great, though, because you're finding guys, though, like this is a crossover. So I think it's more competitive with these two. Like, if you are a young kid, who is a bopper at the twilight of his career? Like, how many home runs did Albert Pujols hit in his career?
Enough.
He at least 600.
Yeah,
I remember 600. Miggy at the end.
So at the end, like the end of his career, you go... If you're like a rookie and Albert Pujols takes you yard, it's like, oh, I got taken yard by Albert Pujols. That was pretty incredible. And then on the other side, it's like Dennis Eckersley is this old hand. He's seen it all. He's grizzled. He's got that great mustache. And he gives up a bomb to the young Manny Ramirez. It's like, oh, all right. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, this is a crossover here, though. These guys are both, one's going into his prime, hopefully, and the other one is in his prime. In Shohei Ohtani. Like, so it's more competitive for these two.
I just pulled it up. 1995. And, I mean, he almost... You could see the old Budweiser logo. The scoreboard. You thought the ball was actually going to hit the scoreboard at one point.
Yes.
And he just turns around and is like, wow.
Is McGuire the only one to actually hit the Budweiser
Brandel
sign?
Brandel Reyes hit the scoreboard.
He hit the scoreboard.
Didn't Mark Reynolds come close, too, like 10 years ago?
Do you want a power rank?
It's a name
balls
that I haven't
that hit
heard.
The scoreboard?
Power rank power hitters.
Brandmill Reyes,
are these
one.
Are these other players or guys who played for the Guardians / Indians?
Well, if we're just talking about hitting the scoreboard, it's people that we know that hit the scoreboard.
I saw Richie Sexson hit a grand slam one time. That was fun.
Yeah, if you would sit there and watch batting practice, like, yeah, okay, they'd be targeting it and everything, but to see it in a game,
right,
was pretty damn awesome.
I feel like they targeted it during the All-Star game as well.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen anybody hit the scoreboard. I was there for Santa Maria, and I've seen, I don't remember who it was, hit it into the plaza between the Progressive Field and the arena, and it was pretty crazy. It was a foul ball.
Off you go, Mitch.
Well, going from baseball over to the football world yesterday, we had this from 103.7 The Buzz in Little Rock, Arkansas. Steelers Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw gave his thoughts on the still ongoing pursuit for the Steelers to acquire Aaron Rodgers.
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That's a joke. That is just, to me, is a joke. What are you going to do, bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man. That guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go
you.
Somewhere and,
thank
and
you.
Chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
Do you like Terry Bradshaw?
I've always found him kind of fun.
He's interesting. The only thing I've been critical of Terry Bradshaw, hey, I wasn't in the locker room. I'm like, let the Chuck Knoll thing go, man. You guys won 4 Super Bowls together. It's not a good look. Like, that whole thing at the end of that, like, did you ever watch him in a football life? Of course you didn't. I'm a football guy and you're not. But other than that, like, I like Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw's funny.
Is it true?
He's funny.
Is the nudist thing that he would go to, like, the nudist colonies, is that true?
Terry Bradshaw? Yeah, well, he was nude in a movie. Well, you didn't get frontal. You got the backside.
You got back.
Failure to launch.
Which move? Failure to launch.
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody I know. Continue.
Well, I was going to say, really quickly before we go to the next story, if you want the same cadence of Bradshaw talking about another quarterback, the 30 for 30, Elway to Marino, talks about John Elway the exact same way. Also a California kid.
Yes,
like Aaron
yes,
Rodgers.
Yes.
Well, last night in Indiana, we
had...
I feel
like Aaron Rodgers wouldn't want to be in California
anymore. Terry Bradshaw, not a fan of California.
If you listen to his recent comments on the Joe Rogan Experience, you are correct.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like the last place, the last state in the union he would want to be hanging out in.
I think there was.
And then he would probably say Chicago, even though it's not a state. It's just a general area he'd want to avoid. I would think Portland, Oregon. I would think Seattle.
Seattle was very nice when I visited.
Really, any big city these days? Yes, I'm going to power rank the cities Aaron Rodgers would tell Joe Rogan he would not want to be in 2025.
Go. Do it now. Do it.
San Francisco, number one. Number two, Portland. Number three, Chicago. I feel pretty confident.
Where's Green Bay on that?
Interesting.
And by the way, I think I heard those same cities from my father-in-law over Memorial Day weekend.
How is he doing?
We can move on.
Is he doing good?
Yes, he's
good.
Great. He's a big fan of the show, by the way.
He is.
Big fan of the show. My wife does not listen to the show. My father-in-law listens to
I've talked to his friend, who also has the same name, more than I've got to talk to him. Just interesting.
But finally, we had in Indiana last night.
We're about to power rank the Bernies.
Yes.
Let's power rank the Bernies. Here we go. Number one, Bernie Kosar. Number two, it's just because I talked to him more, Bernie. I'm sorry. Your other buddy named Bernie. Number three, Lima's Bernie. Lima's father-in-law,
Mitch
Bernie.
Would have said Bernie Williams from his old Yankee fan days.
That's nothing against you, Mr. Horrible. I'm just saying I've only met the other Bernie more than you. That's all.
Speaking of New York, last night, their chances of winning the Eastern Conference getting close to none after losing to the Pacers, 130-121. Tyrese Haliburton with a statement game, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists, 0 turnovers. Had a bit of help back in the building last night.
Man, it's a big win for us.
Did Dad in the building have anything to do with that?
Hell yeah. Yeah. I'm glad Pop's in the building, man. Makes it that much more sweet. He had a little bit to do with it.
Now, Pop's was loud and sweet last night, so he couldn't get to Triple H.
Yeah, he was not on the court, which we talked about in the lead-up. We said he is probably going to be banished. I said in the Caitlin Clark zone, because for whatever reason, she's not sitting courtside. Who's bigger than Caitlin Clark right now?
In Indiana?
In fact, I would say she's bigger than Tyrese Haliburton. Maybe not during this run, but Caitlin Clark is pretty damn big.
Another conversation about superstardom coming up there. Yeah, I glad his dad was able to go to the game. Whatever. Glad he stayed away from the courtside. That's probably better for everybody involved.
And that's it for about last night.
I would have liked to see him mix it up with Spike Lee and Timothy Chalamet.
Ben Stiller.
You know what? I haven't seen a damn thing, at least I can think of, that Timothy Chalamet's in. I just like him because I know he knows sports.
He's big.
He's a big college football fan. What has he been in? What does he do?
Interstellar, Dune, Little Women. These ones are coming to the top of my head right now.
Is he one of the Little Women?
He's Bob Dylan in the Bob Dylan movie.
I didn't see the Bob Dylan.
It was really good.
Can he win an Oscar? Is he getting?
He'll definitely win one day.
Was he nominated for Best Actor?
Yes.
Really?
He was.
Hey, he's a young
Bob Dylan.
He's my age. Yeah, a little older.
Not for being one of the Little Women in the Little Women.
He was Willy Wonka in the Willy Wonka.
That's right. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't see that movie either.
They're going to make another one, too.
I was like, no, that was Johnny Depp. They're making another Willy Wonka? Yeah. How much more can we do with Willy Wonka?
Well, you got to know what happens, man.
Power rank the Willy Wonkas. Here we go. Number one, Gene Wilder. Number two, Johnny Depp. Number three, Timothy Chalamet.
No, even you got to flip those.
Well, it was a prequel.
Chalamet's number two.
Chalamet did the prequel.
Come on, Johnny Depp was great.
I saw the first... like half hour of it. Never got back to it.
The Willy Wonka with Johnny Depp?
But no, the one with Timothy Chalamet.
Chalamet's really good at everything. He's one of those that I'm...
Listen to Richard Roper over here.
I can't believe I like him as much as I do. But
wow.
Yeah, he's really good.
Wow.
I want to hate on him.
I got to see this guy. Really I got to see this guy act. One of the great thespians of Mitch's generation.
Now, did he actually sing or was it a Zach Morris in Saved by the Bell?
He did it himself both Wonka and... Bob Dylan in the Bob Dylan movie, which I don't know.
No kidding. Okay. All right, I'm going to have to check this young man out. Have to see how this goes. All right, I wanted to get to this today, or yesterday is the day. Did you see the guy, Corey, on Twitter who had everybody believing that he was at OTAs?
Wait, he wasn't there? Was it not open to...
I tweeted at him.
...specific ex-user accounts or anybody Blueski?
This is where it's getting... this is where it's getting wild. So, yesterday... I shouldn't probably encourage this behavior, but I was laughing was a Browns fan at Corey Scuse on Twitter.
He had me fooled.
Well, somebody, I wasn't going to tell everybody that you called me and told me, but yeah, it was somebody who called me and told me, and that's what I tweeted at the guy.
Well, I was like, is anybody there that we can have on? And
Lima goes, who's this Corey guy who covers the Browns? He's from that. I go, Lima, that's a gag. That is a gag. There was a guy saying, and this is the beauty of the internet, and this is the beauty of Shedeur Sanders having such a strong fan base, is that he tweets that Shedeur Sanders hasn't missed a throw all day. And then the big argument comes out. He's taking people's pictures and been like, I'm at camp. I'm at training camp.
Amazing.
I'm at OTAs. Yeah, it was fantastic. But you know that those Shedeur fans are watching like a hawk. And it's a big deal. He's a big deal here. It's a big deal, this quarterback competition, quote unquote, which we'll get into a little bit more in earnest later on. However, Mike Greenberg was on Get Up. He hosts Get Up. And he had this to say about Shedeur Sanders, and I think this is going to be very interesting to a lot of folks.
RC, to me, this is going to be the story of the summer and into the season. Do you believe we will see Shedeur Sanders start for the Cleveland Browns sometime next season?
You know what? I believe he will start at some point next season. I believe Kenny Pickett will be the front runner. We have to remember he was the 20th overall pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers a few years ago. But everything you're hearing out of Cleveland is how impressive Shedeur Sanders is. This is a guy we talked about as a possible first rounder, and I think he's showing that talent there, and the Cleveland Browns are desperate for a franchise guy.
God, I wish this was in the afternoon because I would go, did he read Corey's tweets as well? Did he get to see that? Ryan Clark did. However, he says Shedeur, the story of the summer. And you've asked, are we in the bubble or is he the biggest story of the summer? And I thought about this yesterday. I'm standing at first base going, there's not very many others. Like, it's kind of been a quiet offseason a lot in the NFL.
Like, it really has.
Like TJ Watt, but it's like, okay, you'll get something figured out. He's 31 years old. You guys will get something figured out there. I really don't take that into a lot of hardcore consideration yet. If he starts getting fined $50,000 a practice, then maybe we'll talk about that. I think that Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he's going to end up in Pittsburgh, I think, is a bigger one, because if I'm looking across the state line, speaking of TJ Watt, speaking of DK Metcalf, speaking of Minkah Fitzpatrick, which I know that Albert Breer mentioned with the guys in the afternoon yesterday, that is a roster that's built to try to make some sort of a run now. But if they don't have the quarterback, they ain't going to do anything. Ain't going to do anything. But I think that right now, Shedeur Sanders is probably either the... the biggest story, depending on how you see Aaron Rodgers, or the second biggest story. It's still one of the two biggest stories this summer in the NFL.
I have to say that I totally missed it, because after the draft, I said, well, Shador as a number two overall pick, that is going to be a massive, massive story. Him as a fifth rounder and third stringer, I didn't think that would really pop. And I thought the minute he got taken in the fifth round and really went past the second round, I'm like, oh, I think people are going to lose interest in him. So I'm going to have to say that I was totally wrong on.
I'm surprised you thought that. I felt differently.
Well, just because right now, projecting preseason.
Yeah.
Which preseason game matters now? Now that it used to be the third, which is the one that truly matters?
Probably the third.
They have two joint practices for the first two. They have a joint practice a week, so do those games even matter at all now?
You get 2 weeks off before the season starts, so probably still the third last preseason game.
Oh, is that the one that people are going to play their actual guys?
Some probably, people play their starters week one, and then they don't play them again all preseason.
Is Shador not third string?
As of right now? Okay, so who do you have? You have Joe. You putting Joe there at number one?
Kenny Pickett, who's going to talk today.
Who are you putting first, Joe or Kenny?
I imagine right now it's Joe.
Okay, who you think the Browns are going to put
by on. The time we get there, I figured it was going to be Joe gets traded out or whatever. But I wasn't sure. But is that not conventional
wisdom?
Well,
that's the problem, man. Are you just going to trade away your starting quarterback for another team that might need another starting quarterback? Don't you need a starting quarterback? So that's why, like, I think the Browns and the rest of us are in a different spot. And this is an unpopular thing to say, but I've had to say it a couple times. I think they think that Kenny Pickett's going to be their week one starter. What Ryan Clark said, I think that he thinks is true. I think a lot of people see it that way. If Joe Flacco is on any sort of a trade box, then you would not trade away your week one starting quarterback.
Okay, but whatever it is, whatever the machinations of, man, we have so many quarterbacks, of how it works out, Shador is not going to be first or second string, right, by then?
No.
So how can a third, at best, third string quarterback come preseason, how is that going to still be a big story in the NFL? Won't we have moved on? Won't people nationally have moved on?
Because I think that a lot of people, I do not believe that to be true.
What's that?
That a lot of people will have moved on. He is.
Would you care about a third string quarterback in another city?
No.
Like, would you talk about them in Cleveland?
Have we seen a guy fall to the fifth round? That was rumored to be a top 10 pick, no matter what we want to say. And I know you can say whatever you want. I believe this is going to muddy it up even more. I do believe that there were definitely teams that had a first-round grade on him. I believe there were definitely teams that had a second-round grade on him. It didn't just turn into a sudden where nobody had a first-round grade on him. So I believe that some teams did. So if you had teams that had a first-round grade on Shador Sanders and he falls to the fifth round and he has that type of fan base, him personally, yeah, I think it's going to be a big story. I think that people are going to look at the Browns.
Big?
Yes, I think people are going to look at the Browns.
Explain how that story goes. Explain. Do you think that's going to...
Why are the
is
Browns...
Is that going to lead first, you know, take into? That he's the... That, like, day, the first day we find out the depth chart. Okay, Shador Sanders, that's his story. Is it going to be a week later? Is it going to be 3 weeks later? At what point does it fit?
Yes.
What's the conversation
going to
be?
Because it's going to turn into, I'm trying to tell you this, it turns into how good do the people think that the Browns are going to be? Not very good. So why are they wasting their time with Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco? That's what those conversations are going to be. You want to know what the big first take conversation is or PTI or any of the other ones? Why are the Browns wasting their time with Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett? Why are we trying to run back Kenny Pickett there? It's Shador Sanders. They're all going to hear that Shador looked good in camp, because he probably will look good in camp. He looked good. It was only rookie minicamp, but he looked good there. I'm sure that he's going to be wearing one of the orange jerseys. He'll look fine. They'll take care of him. He'll look good in camp, and they'll go, wait a minute, this is a guy you got in the fifth round. You're not going anywhere anyway. We got to see Shador Sanders
here. But won't Dylan Gabriel look good too?
I would assume so, but Dylan Gabriel is not the star that Shador Sanders is. I bet there's people who do this for a living on the Four Letter Network who don't even know that Dylan Gabriel is on our roster.
I agree with me. But what I'm saying is, yes, the first day of everything, it's a story that Shador is a third stringer.
Yeah.
But eventually in the NFL, we just don't talk about third stringers. We don't care. We laugh. We laugh about them even having a job at the NFL.
About the end of the preseason, we will stop talking about that, get ready for week one, And if the Browns go out there and win, we won't talk about them for week two.
But is that
if they don't go out there and win,
you
and they look
about,
bad doing it like they did last year against Dallas, yeah, plenty of people are going to be talking about Shedeur
Sanders.
But
the way you are explaining that, that does not sound to me like a relevant story of the year. That does not sound like something that will be the story.
I can't predict what the other stories are going to be. Other stories may supersede it, but I don't know what those stories are going to be. So, yes, if there's big things happening with big top-end players, God forbid if some big star gets hurt, some big star has a holdout, some big star does this, that, or the other, guys who are already bona fide NFL stars, those stories will supersede it. But I can only go with what's in front of me right now. It's Aaron Rodgers, number one, whether or not he's going to go to Pittsburgh, and number two is Shedeur Sanders with the Cleveland Browns. You got to face this. All the fans have to face this. The ones that want just a quiet, nice offseason – I don't think he's going to do anything stupid to make it a not quiet, nice offseason, but you're going to hear about this guy all year, and you're going to hear about him no matter whether you're listening to the fan or watching national news. It doesn't matter. He is a big story. We have to deal with it now, and they're the ones that have to be able to handle it, the organization. 216-474-0092. Is Shedeur Sanders the story of the summer to you?